Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are examining the three steps that will enable us to become profitable servants of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. They are, number one, flee sinfulness, number two, pursue godliness, and number three, avoid unprofitableness. Interesting, helpful, and we will return to them in just a moment after I welcome you to this Wednesday, February 2nd edition of the Beacon Broadcast and remind you that we are dependent upon the financial support of our radio listeners to remain on this and other stations. What are the three steps? Number one, flee sinfulness. That's verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Number two, pursue godliness. Also verse 22. It says, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So there's something to flee sin and sinful temptation, and those places and people that lead you to sinful temptations. And number two, there's something to pursue, namely godliness, and that is broken down here in terms of righteousness, faith or faithfulness, love, and peace. And then we are told with whom we are to pursue these things, which is also very instructive and very interesting. Again, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, that's very, very interesting. But it is the counterpart. If we are to flee youthful lusts, and with that, to avoid those people who will lead us into sinful temptations, then there is a corresponding side. In other words, there are two things to flee. Flee sin, flee temptation, and flee from those who lead you into sin and to sinful temptation. In other words, you flee certain activities, certain environments, and you also guard yourself against those people who are not a good influence on you. It's as simple as that, and you know what that is. You know who is a good influence on you, and you know who's a bad influence on you. And really, it's as simple as that. I don't have to spell that out, and we can spend a lot of time talking about that, and some people want to argue about that. But in your heart, I think, I'm quite convinced, if you are a child of God, you know, this person helps me to be a better Christian. This person encourages me in righteousness. This person tries to drag me down. Now, we talked about this on a previous broadcast, but I'll mention it again. Obviously, we are not to cut ourselves off from all people who do not help us because we have a responsibility to them. We are to be witnesses to them. And so we do cultivate relationships with ungodly people for the purpose of the gospel. We cultivate relationships with ungodly people for the purposes of evangelism. But whenever we recognize that our relationship with those people is dragging us into sin, we've got to back off. You can't bear a good witness if you are joining people in their sin. You can't bear a good witness for Christ if you are demonstrating by your sinfulness that Christ doesn't have the power to enable people to overcome sin. Come on now. So you have to be discerning in these areas. On the one hand, you don't cut yourself off from all unconverted people, all people of sinful propensity, which is all of us until we get to heaven. But you don't cut yourself completely off from sinners, or you'll never bear a witness for the gospel to the people who need it. But on the other hand, you don't allow yourself to be sucked into their sin, because then you can't bear a witness for the gospel. Do you understand? Satan is so subtle, so deceptive, and he will use the good goal of evangelism to cause us to excuse our pursuit of sinful temptation. Well, I'm doing this in order to be a witness for Christ. Yeah, right. If you are, well and good. And if you are, you can tell that because, number one, you will not succumb to sinful temptation. And number two, undoubtedly, your witness over time will bear some gospel fruit. And so if that's what's happening, and you can demonstrate that, then well and good. You must be doing something right. Keep it up. But if that's not what's happening, if the opposite is happening, if you are continuing to stumble and fall into sinful temptation because of the companions that you keep, then you're doing something wrong. Back off! That's not the right kind of relationship for you. That's an unhealthy relationship. Flee also youthful lust, but conversely, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you are guarding against negative influences while you are cultivating positive influences. And I'm using those two terms, negative and positive, assuming that you understand I mean by that those influences that drag you toward sin, that's negative influences, as opposed to those that stimulate you to godliness, which I am defining or calling a positive influence. And I have to spell that out because there are some people who think in terms of negative and positive in terms of that which makes me not succeed financially and that which causes me to be successful financially. That's what they think of when they think of negative or positive influences. You've got to think positive. You've got to have positive thoughts. You've got to pump yourself up. You've got to be positive. That's not what I'm talking about. Negative equals sinful. Positive equals righteous. You've got to guard negative relationships very carefully. You've got to cultivate positive relationships very deliberately. And so we are to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You say, how can you tell who's calling on the Lord out of a pure heart and who's calling on the Lord hypocritically? In other words, professing to be a Christian, but their prayers, their Christian activities, whatever they may be, great or small, are really hypocritical, and they're not calling on the Lord out of a pure heart, out of an unhypocritical heart. How do you tell? Well, I could say, short answer, if you can't tell, then you are probably no Christian yourself, but even Christians get fooled in these areas sometimes, but it really takes us back to what we're talking about earlier. Those who exert a negative spiritual influence on you, no matter what they profess, no matter what they call themselves, a Christian, a church member, a church attender, even involved in the work of the church, even having volunteered for areas of ministry in the church. But if they're not stimulating you onto godliness, you know that. And that tells you right away, they're not those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So the ones who encourage you to godliness, to greater righteousness, to greater development of your relationship with Christ, to greater Christian service, to greater prayerfulness, to greater evangelism, witnessing to others. Those who have that influence on you are those that are calling upon God out of a pure heart. And it ought to be obvious that the place where you're going to find those people is in a good, Bible-centered, local church. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You don't need to just go out in the world and start looking for people like this. Yoo-hoo! Where can I find a Christian who is dedicated and sincere? Now, you're going to find people like this outside of your own local church, no doubt, depending, of course, on where you live. But if you live in our area, I'm sure you'll find some of these people in public places, on your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, who give every evidence of being a genuine, sincere, born-again, serious-minded Christian, and they're not a member of your local church. And that's good. Nothing wrong with cultivating relationships with people like that. But the place you are going to find them most readily and the place where your relationship with them is going to be most productive is in your local church. And if you're not finding people like that in your local church, you're in the wrong church. Every now and then I'll talk to somebody who tells me tales of woe about their church. All kinds of problems. It's so sad. Years ago, decades ago, it really was a good, strong church, good Bible-believing church, but all that has changed, all that has passed, and it's just so sad, so deficient, and you want to say to them, well, then why don't you leave and find a church that's healthy, that's biblical, that is the kind of church that you wish your church was, and maybe your church used to be, but it isn't. Why aren't you finding a church like that for the health of your soul, for the health of your family, for the testimony of Christ in your community? And they will usually say, well, if I leave, then nobody will bear witness for Christ. I'm the only one left who's concerned about spiritual things. If I leave, the whole church will be apostate. It'll collapse. Listen, friend, if you're the only one there like that, then you're not going to be able to change it. And to stay there is foolish and, frankly, disobedient. But I'm not dealing with the text that deals with the disobedience of it. But for right now, I'm dealing with the text that talks about the wisdom of it. If you're going to find people who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, you're going to have to find a church where there are a lot of people like that. And that's going to be a church that is serious about the Bible, that produces people like that because of its biblical ministry, that attracts people like that because of its biblical ministry. That's where you're going to find people like that. And if you stay in a church where there aren't people like that, all it's going to do is drag you down. That's not pleasing to the Lord. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.